McDonald's is called Macca's.
Macca's?
Macca's. Yeah.
Is that the
That's
short name or is
just,
that the official
yeah,
name?
that's the Australian way of always
Gotcha.
putting something at the end, an A or an O or an I.
Okay. I
What
figured they
shortening
actually
means.
called it McDonald's, but you never know. I guess they could change the
Oh
name
yeah,
if they
it's
wanted
called
to.
McDonald's on the signpost, but
Sure.
even in the advertisements they call it Macca's.
Well, like here, a lot of people just call it Mickey D's almost more than McDonald's.
Yeah. Is that more the northeastern type thing there? Here it's
It's
like
all over the
more
US, I think. I mean, we do it in California, Utah also, so Mickey D's.
Did you just group Utah in with Utah with California?
Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to episode 49 of the Guardian Hub podcast, where we talk Destiny and our love of the game. We bring on different guests and communities to learn about them, their experiences in Destiny, and discuss other topics. Your hosts, as always, are Kingsley Mack and Sin. Sin, we were worried last week you wouldn't be alive for this one, but I think you're here, right?
Yes, I wouldn't have been had you kept me up any later last night to do the Leviathan raid. But I've made it through this long, dreaded end-of-month work week, and I am here, ready to go.
So your hours are just slightly better, but not much better, right? You still work late nights a lot?
Well, this end-of-month compared to January wasn't as bad. I actually had a late-in, which was only an hour late-in, and then early out. And then today, Saturdays are typically out at 6, but we had a late customer and didn't leave to almost 8:30.
What a pain.
Yes. And that
Hopefully you
was
bought something good.
She bought a Land Rover Evoque, a pre-owned one we had. She traded in a 19 Atlas for a 2015 Land Rover Evoque. And it was a lot of negative equity. So it took us a while to get it structured right so the bank would buy it. And a few phone calls to one of our lenders.
But you made it happen.
Made it happen.
Because you are
that is my life. That is my life every single day, dealing with banks and customers.
I bet.
But how have you been?
I'm good. And you want to introduce our guest this evening, our very special guest? We don't need to talk about me.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, this week we come from a land down under. We have a amazing person. Part of our community, still has yet to join the clan, but we'll let him go on that one. Helios, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm very good, Sin. Thank you very much for inviting me, guys.
Absolutely.
I'm pleased to be here and such a great intro. Laying down under.
Laying down under.
That's not a knife.
That's not... I won't go into the paint my deck. The paint my deck commercial from YouTube.
Indeed.
I don't know what you mean. Chirp, chirp.
But we get to play with you a lot. And
you
get to have a lot of fun times raiding and other shenanigans. So tell us about you.
Me, yeah. So I've been around the Destiny community, I guess, for a couple of years. Ever since D1 kind of released. So, but long kind of story was that I kind of didn't think I'd play D1. I think I only saw like advertisements come out for it, and I thought, well, that looks like an interesting game. So, and at the time, I think I was still playing Xbox 360. So, I actually downloaded the beta for D1 on Xbox 360. So, that was an interesting experience itself, really, because it was a bit janky, I guess, early days, especially on the 360. It was on its last legs, I think, in 2014. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was good. I thought interesting kind of mechanics because it was definitely being billed as like a almost an MMO back in the day, which I'd never really played one of those. So, and yeah, it was interesting. I think everybody kind of latched onto it pretty early. So,
yeah, and how did you hear about it or what kind of got you interested?
I think just through just general advertising. I think PlayStation at the time was obviously just being rolled out, PlayStation 4. So, I was obviously looking at getting a PlayStation and what games are there. So, and yeah, just because I'd played not that many Halo games in the past. I played CE, Combat Involved, Halo 1 back on the original Xbox that I had way, way, way back. I didn't play any of the Halos in between. So, and yeah, just kind of thought, oh, that looks interesting. Because at the time on 360, I was playing games like Oblivion. And a few other more adventure type games. So I thought it looked like a cool kind of story elements and that kind of stuff. And then I wasn't really into, I was playing a little bit of COD, although I never really played too much multiplayer, I thought. But yeah, the story kind of looked interesting. So that's how I kind of got into it. So
excellent. And you said you had the original Xbox. Do you go back even further with gaming?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, I'm in the boomer crowd, as Sharks likes to call us. I'm in the
okay, boomer.
Okay, and everything above 30. But yes, yeah. I'm a 40s plus gamer, so I've been around for a while. Started probably originally with the Commodore 64, way back.
Yes,
I would have never pegged you for 40 plus. Just being honest,
just a youthful sounding gamer that I am.
Love it. Love it. And I do remember a Commodore 64 myself.
Yeah. So my dad was kind of the person that brought, I guess, technology into the family. My mum, I should say, she was more of the country girl, you know, never got down to that, you know, riding horses and that kind of stuff. So but my dad, I think you remember back in the 80s, this is, so bought C64 and like a VCR that he got when he went to Hong Kong once. So that was the first time we'd ever seen any kind of recording, you know, getting VHS tapes and that kind of stuff. So, but yeah, the Commodore 64, I think the only game I remember is Summer Games. I was looking at it last night just thinking, what games did I used to play on that thing? But I remember that because it was, I think, around the time of the 86 Olympics. The 86 Olympics I'm thinking of, the one that was in Los Angeles?
I think that was 84.
84. You're right. Yes, it was 84. Yeah. But I remember we got it around about 86. But yeah, there was two games and like all the activities, track and field and it was swimming and various things in there. So I was growing up just into sports quite a lot. So that was kind of the first gaming console. So it was kind of interesting to get into it. And then, yeah, just went on from there. Literally really didn't touch a console after that point. It was all PC gaming for about the next 12 years, strangely.
Yeah, I went through phases like that too. Forgive my ignorance on this question, but were there times where you knew about games you wanted to play that maybe, I don't know, came out in the US or whatever, but were there times in Australia where it was harder to get stuff or was it never?
Yeah, it definitely delays. I mean, that was common. I think Australia was always kind of behind, even on movies. We were kind of sometimes. It sounds strange today to think about it, but
yeah,
half the time it's just getting the film here, or getting enough films printed or something like that to get it out to the colonies, as you could say. But in terms of publication, yeah, it was there was always a slight delay, and I think back in the day it was always you read it in a magazine that it was coming out. So this is like pre-internet to all the younger crowd out there. I know it's a scary time thinking the internet didn't exist.
Well, Nintendo power issue or whatever.
Yeah, so like a PC gaming mag or something like that. Yeah. Or literally you'd never buy it. Like you'd go to a newsagent's, what we call like a news shop or a newsstand, and you'd read all the mags. This is Freeloading Kids of Australia. We're all criminals, apparently. and we're just literally there reading what's coming up in magazines in the shop, and then yeah, basically just thinking, oh yeah, I can hit my parents up for a Christmas or a birthday present. But I think at the time, my mum was obviously doing book work and stuff, so she bought the computer, or at least got my dad to buy the computer to say, hey, you need a computer. This is 286, I think, was the first one. That was really old. Went from CGA to VGA graphics. That was an interesting time. And, yeah, so got games on the side, really, as it kind of went through the system. And then I went off to university, bought my own computer. That was the first time I bought one. Most expensive thing I ever owned at that stage. And then, yeah, got into things like Dark Forces. I think I had X-Wing. Oh, look, Star Wars. Got into that quite a bit, Star Wars games, back in the time. So, and then, yeah, I didn't buy a console, actually, I think, until, like, the late 90s. That was a long time in between drinks for consoles. PlayStation 1. Then moved to PlayStation 2, because that wasn't, that came out, I think, at the millennia, 2001. Resident Evil, I remember playing that on that.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good game. Resident Evil 4? 3. 3 or 4, one of those ones. Yeah, that's scared. That was a scary game. I think they still are, like the re-releases of those games. I don't think I want to touch those. Yeah,
I like jump the re-release. What was it, 2 that everyone likes, or I think that
2
was
and 3's coming up this year, I think.
Yeah.
So, I don't know how you managed to have time for all of that.
Yeah. So, oh, just in between school and stuff. Like I always used to work on my parents' farm, so I had a bit of pocket money every now and again. So I grew up in like a rural part of Australia. I'd like to call it the Florida of Australia, which is called Queensland, because Florida's down south for you, but Queensland's up north for most of Australia. So, but it's just all which way you're pointing towards the equator. So, a geography lesson for everyone there. So, our north is your south. Yeah.
It's how you look at the globe, right?
Oh, yeah. Totally. It's your perspective. But, yeah, so I've had a pretty long career playing games. Whether or not my parents enjoyed me playing games or not is another thing, but I'm still here, still kicking.
That's cool. I'm trying to think. So you've been in, obviously, we have you on here for Destiny. We know you from that. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, if you remembered, I'll let me know, but how we started meeting up with you and playing with you and any groups.
Yeah. So there's a couple of guys that is, I think, also in the clan. Shout out to Synchromashi. And Rob, he's also known as Lord Farquaad.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. They play quite regularly on the PlayStation 4 side. But they kind of, well, I knew Sync through, what was the old group? So the first time I joined a clan in Destiny was the Trans-Tasman Raiders. That's another shout out to old clan group. That's based primarily in Australia and New Zealand. I actually was listening to, I think it was Destiny Reset, and they had a shout out on that, one of the episodes, I think, because I think Bushman Bob was also involved at the time. So I met those guys through that, and then Destiny Addicts, obviously, didn't know them quite. They're still kicking it.
We have history, and they're on the cusp of episode 100.
They are very close to 100. I recommend people with, if you've got a stomach for listening to people talk about fart and wee jokes, they're your guys. So.
It's a crude sense of humor, which I can always appreciate.
It is. They like taking the fun out of things. Never too serious, and when they are, they've got their own interesting take on things. So, but It's a community, small community, and so I think I met you through that, Kingsley. Just raid groups. I think I remember running EP. That was possibly the first time we ran anything.
Yeah. Well, we might have met. Okay, now it's coming back to me more. Yeah, we might have met through, even in D1. I remember doing some strikes and maybe a raid with Bushman Bob once and Synchro maybe and some other people. Maybe we'd kind of tentatively met there, but I feel like we met again in D2, if anything, doing Escalation Protocol, and weren't you in another group with like Ferg and some of those guys and
Yeah, Lars. Lars, mainly. Yeah. I met those guys, Lars and a couple of his mates. I met them in D1 doing Kingsfall, I think an LFG post. And I think at the time we were using Destiny Tracker. Might have been Destiny Tracker. That was the old school days of looking for groups. There weren't that many sites, and it was a bit. You never know what you were going to get with raid groups. Looking at on LFG, but yeah, so I met him, and yeah, I think they were three guys, and they were looking for people, and that was the first time we cleared Kingsfall, I think, back in the day. So
yeah,
it was kind of with the US people that I play with. Generally, it's like Saturday mornings or Sunday mornings are usually a good time to play. So it was like became a ritual, really. It's like wake up on a Saturday and see who's playing and somebody wants to do a raid. And that's my weekend for the most part, apart from doing odd jobs around the house and various other things. But yeah.
Yeah, that is interesting. So what time we were talking about this the other day, but when the US starts coming online Friday, Saturday night, kind of like the Eastern time hits, you know, 6, 7, 8 o'clock PM, what time is it for you?
Yeah, so Eastern roughly is like, I think 10 a.m. morning time is not a bad time, because I think that's like people putting kiddos to bed and that kind of stuff in Eastern time zones. That's around about the time you're looking at. So,
yeah.
And it can be later, but yeah.
Sure. And then, but yeah, our Friday and Saturday nights are often good matching up with you. And then when the Eastern folks start going to bed, because it's later for them, I'm more West Coast US. So often I can stay up later and sometimes play with you guys or some other crews that are still up. So it's interesting how all those time zones work, you know?
Oh, but it's so much easier with like Discord groups and
oh yeah,
other things. But 100.io has been great more recently because people kind of not playing as much, but just trying to find a group of people to play, and you can book ahead of time, so it's kind of it's useful. I mean, the older everybody gets, or the more responsibility you get, you tend to say, well, you know, how can I maximize my time if I'm playing games? So really kind of appreciate having those kind of things nowadays. So
yeah, I know, I never thought I would be playing with other people and be part of an online community. If you would have asked me even 2-3 years ago, maybe. I mean, I started playing Destiny obviously four years ago now, five, I don't know. But Destiny was my first game of any kind of multiplayer, any kind at all. Like, I hadn't done any PvP games either, but no even PvE or cooperative type games with other people. And so it was, these groups are what really bring people together, which is pretty cool, because I think when we find groups and people we can vouch for, it makes it a lot easier and less stress, kind of like we've had what I've talked in our previous episode, like just doing a straight LFG can be scary. You never know what you're going to get. And some people are more open to giving it more of a chance than others, but we've always had good groups. Like Destiny Reset's been great. These other groups, I'm sure, have all been great for the most part, you know?
So you're saying LFG is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Sorry, the dad jokes are going to be way strong tonight.
Yeah, that's all good.
Yes. Yeah, no, I agree. The thing about LFG is you kind of depends on what your level of, I wouldn't say anxiety, but you're kind of like how much you like talking to people. Really kind of fills you in about, like, if you struggle with, like, you know, I wouldn't say communicating, but if you struggle in like social settings, it's kind of can be really difficult. And I guess I'm not the most social kind of guy, but it's the kind of thing, if you know the game and you know what's happening, that kind of thing, it kind of is a good icebreaker. So as much as the topics in LFG groups sometimes goes off the rails, and they do, or the blame game starts, you know, you could, most of the times, if you can rely on saying, you know, I know what to do, this or that, you don't even need to speak too much to kind of blend in, and you find your own groove really with those kind of things. So I say to people generally, if they are worried about LFGs, that, you know, it's worth giving it a go. You may have a good experience or a bad experience, but I mean, ultimately, yeah, as a group, like in terms of multiplayer games, it's still probably one of the best that I've played. I don't know about you, gentlemen, but
yeah,
Played COD, it's a whole different experience. Any of the multiplayer online shooters, it's a whole different experience.
It's so many people say too, like have played those games when they come to Destiny, they. Even when they do the LFG groups or find groups like ours, they're like, there's something about the Destiny community that on average is a better, more chill, more respectable community than these other ones.
And yeah, for sure. I don't know if that's an age thing or if it's just people invest so much time into the game that they want to obviously enjoy it. It's not the kind of thing you just, I wouldn't say PvP communities are, I wouldn't say very casual in a sense, in that respect, because I know there are some hardcore players out there and they enjoy playing with their friends. But even like PvE type communities, people are kind of invested a lot of time in the game. So they yes, people want to do well, but there is some element of, you know, accommodation, I think, to the other players. Because I mean, if you're reaching out to say, hey, come play with us, there's obviously you want to achieve something. So. Cooperative achievement, as I like to call it. So,
yeah,
well, that's actually a good segue. We did a raid. We helped a newbie through Leviathan raid just last night.
Yes,
some was of the that stuff that was Brother Ben, right?
Brother Ben, yes, and Helios is in the group with us. Sin and I were there. We had who else did we have? I'm trying to remember now. Can look back and see, but it was a fun night. We hadn't done just a plain Leviathan.
Yep.
In a little while.
It was on PC too, right? So yes. I know Verston was considering to be an alt, but he had bowed out because I finally made it home. And we ended up jumping in. And I know we actually glitched at one point, one of the staff running in Castellum. And we had to back out to orbit and go back in. But otherwise, it was a pretty smooth overall all run for our first run through with him. And Leviathan is super, super easy now compared to what it used to be with the amount of heavy weapons that you have at your disposal, like Anarchy, Izanagi's. Kingsley, one raid that you and I, think, have played fairly recent Leviathan. I think we did a one phase. A four-play one phase, and we were super close last night, and but ended up needing to do one more phase after.
Yeah, it was a good time last night. Yeah, we also had Jakey Joe, and
that's right, Jakey
Riven, also known as
Merrick.
Yep,
or Junior Link.
Junior Link, he'll love that.
Link's mini me.
Yes, shout out to Link.
And we had two Helioses. I'm looking at the raid report. We had a Helios Warlock and a Helios Hunter.
That's because he swapped for the final encounter.
Yep.
So I was trying to help Kingsley out and say, oh, yes, you can do void. Oh, kidding. We ended up being both in prime room. So.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I'm looking at the time here. 26 minutes on the Hunter and 18 minutes on the Warlock. So we did, spend a fair amount of time at the end there. We'd pumped through it pretty quickly. I felt bad because, you know, I wanted to kind of, we were trying to teach Brother Ben, but at some point we'd gone through some of the encounters without totally explaining it, I'm sure. We just kind of get them done. I think he even said in the dog's like, I don't know exactly what happened, but we got it done. Yeah, those happen sometimes, right? You can just carry people through and it's like, yeah.
Sometimes the best. Totally
understand it.
Leviathan is elite for that.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes the best raids are those ones where not everybody knows exactly what to do, but you still get through it somehow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you
definitely cannot do that in Crown of Sorrows. Everybody needs to be on the same page in that raid.
Yeah. There's a little bit of clutch moves you can do, but yeah, nothing like Leviathan, that's for sure, where you can, it's easier to help out.
Right.
Yeah, we did that this last week. Anything else? What have you been working on, Helios? I mean, what have you done this season? I assume you've gotten your title.
Yeah, so I have your title. That's kind of been the main thing for most people, I think. Yeah, not too much.
Anything in the game you enjoy more than something else at this juncture?
You probably haven't asked actually what do I main, but I generally say nowadays that I main all three classes. So I tend to like splitting my playtime between all three.
Which there's nothing wrong with. They all have their own kind of unique way of doing things.
So I guess I appreciate the kind of differences in having that kind of depth. But I guess if you'd say if I had to hand on heart, say anyone, it'd be Hunter. So I'll fill the trio of Hunter, Walk, and Titan on this podcast. So
there we go.
Absolutely.
Because that's what I picked in the beta. I picked a Hunter, and I started D1 as a Hunter, and it's still with me. So.
Nice. And you finished most of your pinnacles up at this point with Divinity, the Wendigos, the Hush, anything weapon grind-wise at this point.
I think since Season of Opulence, I think there was a couple of quests, because I think last year was a bit of a grind on a few things. Anything outside of the Black Armory, Joker's Wild, those seasons last year. Quite a few quests, especially exotic quests that came out of it, and also pinnacle quests. So I think in Season of Opulence, I really started knuckling down on closing out quite a lot of that. So I think most seasons I get most things done now. Generally don't leave it too late in a season to get anything done specifically, but it kind of helps if you play every single weekend. So I'm not going to lie, I spend a lot of time. If you look up my time wasted, if not played in Destiny, I'm up there. So in the 4,000 to 5,000 hour mark. So
yeah, you got to have time if you're doing all three characters too and get it right.
But in terms of quests, I actually went back and did a lot of the Crucible ones. So I think with Crucible comp being a bit easier, things like Redrix, that was a grind. just finished, what is the hand cannon?
Mountaintop.
I got that one a while ago. That wasn't too bad, that one. I appreciated the changes they made to it.
Right.
Man, because that was a struggle bus. I don't know how people did that beforehand, but Luna's Hell.
Yes. That's
the one. Yeah.
Just got that at the start of the season. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Those are basically the three that I don't have: Mountaintop, Luna's, and Redrix.
Redrix is actually easy. I have that one, and I've been on and off trying to work on Mountaintop, and I've actually been using a heavy grenade when I do that, and the Fighting Lion. I've had some luck getting doubles, but the triples are really the ones that are the big struggle bus for me for that particular one. And I've not done anything with the Luna's quests or anything with Luna's. But I will say, I did finally get, I don't know if I talked about it last time for this particular one, but Wendigo. And I also got, I know I didn't talk about this one, our last episode was Divinity. So those
are finally
complete.
Yeah, I don't know if we did talk about that. I mean, I know people in the Discord room, but there was like three people that night that got Divinity, right? You,
yes.
Who else? I'm trying to remember. I feel like it was also maybe Lucifer. He might have gotten it before. But yeah, there was a bunch that got it that night. So shout out to everyone who's gotten it.
Yeah, I can scroll down and see, but no, I also got favorite title along with everybody else here during the end of the season. It looked like everybody else was just really rating on Empyrean Foundation. Most people were in that, but
I knew that was, I know that night and the next morning it popped like for 20, 30 different people, like save your title, save your title, save your title. And
yes,
it's funny to me, it's almost like turned me off from wearing it. I obviously have it, but I'm rocking Wayfarer again now because I feel like everyone has it. Like, I'm just going to show off my Wayfarer now.
Well, I'm definitely going to use it because I spent all the time grinding this season, so I might as well.
Yeah.
But the other shout out was for Divinity that night was AR and Wash here.
That's right. Yeah, AR and Wash. It's fun doing that raid, getting to a level you can feel a lot more comfortable with it. It's not too bad of a raid.
Yeah.
Helios, you don't have to like go through a complete list, but what are your kind of like top couple raids in D2?
I think at the moment I'm playing more Scourge of the Past than any other raid because I'm obviously still trying to get Anarchy. I'm one of those people. Yeah. I'm not like Sinnoh yourself. Get that lucky drop within the first 10.
Hey, well, don't hate. Don't hate, because I still don't have Terrible.
Oh, okay. Enough said about that, the better, I think. Scourge, I think, is actually probably overtaken Eater of Worlds as one of those easy to learn, easy to teach raids. It's pretty straightforward, and I think it's one of those things that it gets broken up fairly. The encounters get broken up quite easily and can be easily explained. I think the first time you did it, it was a little bit, especially the boss, not just the boss mechanics, but the first two phases, I think, of the boss were always difficult to understand exactly what was going on with the tanks. So I'd probably count that as a favorite raid, because I don't mind anybody else that wants to do it, not just to get Anarchy for myself, but if anybody else wants to do it, I'm quite happy to do that raid. Kind of got burnt out on Leviathan, so, and some of the raid layers, I don't play them as much. So I think probably the top three now are probably Scourge, probably number one at the moment, and I'd say Garden second, because I still yet to really master that one. Crown, still struggling with that one a little bit. I'd probably say yes, third at the moment, but I think it's more just because they're the more recent ones. You play them more regularly than the older ones. So.
Yeah, that's respectable. That makes sense. So Spire isn't your favorite?
No, not really, but I think that's like, you know, a love lost. It's like you never fell in love with it, so you never really miss it if you don't play it, type thing. So yeah. I know some people like, that
does
it.
Exist.
Yeah, totally. So I think
our problem is we have never really played it enough, and it sucked so bad when it came out that we never had the motivation or desire to get in there because there was no rewards hinged on it.
I think, yeah, the weapons, there were only like three weapons, and most of the rest of the things were just ornaments, I think. So, yeah, it wasn't a lot to go for back in the day.
But even though I've passed it once now, I still feel like the ending boss encounter fight's just kind of silly. Like, it's not as memorable.
Oh, it's brutal, but I kind of wonder now that we've been through Crown and Garden recently, and some of those fights are super technical, that going back and actually playing Spy wouldn't be that bad. So I just think we have to bite the bullet as a group and just do it.
Well, I wouldn't mind doing it for the...
Yeah, I knew
the prestige for the sleeper catalyst. But I was also going to say, I really wouldn't mind going back EOW. I wouldn't mind doing the what emote?
Oh, the Inspire. The callus sitting on the couch.
The lazy boy. The lazy boy callus emote. Drinking the wine. Having a good time.
I wouldn't mind having that, because I like the emotes and the kind of little silly stuff. But yeah, I mean, Eater of Worlds too for the prestige and the Telesto catalyst, since everybody seems to still want to use Telesto.
As long as it's here, I'm kind of taking advantage of it right now.
Yeah, oh, yeah, by the time I get it and upgrade it, it'll be nerfed.
I know. It breaks the game again, and, you know, they shelve
disabled.
It. Disabled. Exactly. Which it's is just... probably a good segue to talk about nerfs in the game.
Yes, yeah.
That and what we have so coming good. Up. We got a lot coming up, more than just nerfs.
Sunsetting. I hear a lot of sunsetting going on.
Yes, I know. So kind of our main topic I wanted to talk about this week is the Luke Smith, his novel, his 2020 Director's Cut that he came out with. And we remember we had this last year also. There's like, what, three of them that came out kind of separate? Two or three?
Before Shadowkeep, yeah.
Uh-huh. This is a long one that I don't know if this is the only one we're getting, but it's long enough and we have a lot of good info in it. And he answered some questions of things we were wondering and told us some new stuff. We're like, oh, that's big news, and people have conflicting opinions about it. And I just kind of wanted to go over some of these things. So first of all, I think they finally, well, they didn't totally explain like how this is going to work, but this is the first time where they started talking about year four for Destiny 2. So it seems like to me there's going to be a year four now confirmed before we get like a quote new game.
Yeah.
You guys got out of it.
I think they all but confirmed that there's definitely no new game in like September.
Yeah.
Like if they hadn't actually explained that that wasn't happening, I think this is more of a subtle thing to say. Well, they even said like weapons unsetting being 9 to 15 months. Like this is a game that's going to be going for another couple more years, I think, folks.
But I wonder if they're going to transfer. Well, I guess we know that the new consoles can play the old games, but I wonder if they're going to optimize Destiny 2 for the new consoles. Because if not, this is a little sad for the console players that may want to get the new consoles. We don't know what's happening, and maybe they'll do something. But if they don't, it's almost more a reason to switch to PC, because we have a full another year of Destiny, and
well,
you'll take advantage. Yeah.
So I think you're guessing.
I was going to say, I mean, it's really hard to say what they're going to do with the new gen of consoles. The new gen of consoles will definitely open up a lot more paths for what they can do, comparably speaking, to the PC side of things. But with it still being on PS4, you know, they got to still have that balance there of what they can actually do. They can't make the game file that big, as they've already expressed that is one of their concerns.
Yeah, exactly. So
it probably is going to be optimized and look. I would say they could probably optimize it, the fact to make it look like PC on the new gen consoles, but to be able to expand on the game as a whole is probably going to be out of the question, because they're still optimizing across Xbox, PC, Stadia, PS4. There's a lot of platforms that they got to consider.
Yeah. What do you think, Helios?
I think it was interesting. I think it was last week that another game, Cyberpunk, they just mentioned that they're obviously working, I think, with Xbox, but this may be something also with PlayStation, that they're basically saying, like, you know, where if you buy the game now on PlayStation 4, or in this case Xbox One, that they fully will optimize the game on the new Xbox Series X, I think it's cool. Some people calling Xbox 4. This is getting confusing with the names, but the 12 teraflop system, whatever you want to call it. So as an independent publisher, they can make those kind of deals. And I'm kind of wondering if in Bungie's case, they can kind of do that as well. It, I guess, comes down to, does it make sense in terms of monetarily for them, as well as, because I think they clearly want to continue to expand the user base, but to do that, obviously, having it on new gen hardware is going to make the most sense. It's how much dev time, how much cost it's going to be for them. So, like the nuts and bolts of it. Like, and I think they've shown with Stadia that they're more than willing to give it a go for sure. So.
Yeah, obviously, it'll run on the new gen either way, even if they don't put in development, because we know that PlayStation 5 is backwards compatible and the new Xbox is backwards compatible. But hopefully, they can at least, like, yeah, maybe they can't, quote, expand the game that wouldn't work on PS4, but maybe they'll have some like slightly better upscaling than just the built-in upscaling or features like that. So I really do hope for the console players that do want to buy in right away, which might even be me too, even though I have my good PC set up. I might be tempted to get a PS5. It might be fun.
I think the two main things that people want out of any next gen is frame rate and probably field of view. Of some description.
Yes.
Kind, so.
Yes.
So it's quite possible they could introduce that in the launcher on those consoles as an option. Then it'll ultimately come down to people complaining, oh, he's on 60 and I'm on 30. He clearly won that gunfight because he's on the new console. I just think that's just a way of them saying, hey, go to the new console. You'll have a better experience. So.
Yeah.
What I've typically done was upgrade anyway. And I did that with my PS3. I got rid of it and upgraded to a PS4. PS4 Pro, timing was right. I had a little extra cash. I traded in the one or sold the one and then upgraded to the new one. It just makes sense. And especially with a backwards compatible, I mean, why not?
I just wonder if, like they did when D1 launched, they had split population. So I'm pretty sure the 360 crowd couldn't play with the Xbox One crowd. And it was the same for PlayStation 3 and 4. Bungie wants that, but I wouldn't want that.
Anything, but it, more crossplay, even a possibility in the future.
Yeah, so that's kind of the one outlier. Would probably need to be kind of worked out if that would still be the case. You would think technically they can get around it, but there may be, again, it's partly because it's the PlayStation Network or the Xbox Live Network that they may have some reservations about intermingling those populations. But I think for the health of the game, it's got to be there, I think, from day one. So,
yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how that evolves, how that happens. Another point he talked about is him being concerned about what a lot of other people are concerned about the FOMO, the fear of missing out with the way seasons are right now. And he feels for people that feel that way. And we know we've had previous discussion on this podcast many times and during guests and people in the community that feel like they know what's going on in the game, but they don't have the time to do it all. But then at the same time, you know, he said it's a tricky balance because they want to have a lot of things in the game that the people that are the hardcore players can grind for. So I don't know if you had any other thoughts on that, but I think that's pretty cool that he at least is addressing that as something that they're looking into.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things they have to balance it one way or the other. Because they've talked about it in the past, making things in the game feel like it's, you know, rewarding experience and that it's unique, like you, it's those you were them kind of moments that you got to experience it. So I think in a lot of ways it's probably gone too far the other way. In traditional Bungie fashion, the pendulum keeps swinging
right
left and right pretty hard. It's hard to, apparently the water's so choppy they can't, you know, go straight down the stream. It's veering left or right quite a lot. So but yeah, I think it's a good change because, yeah, I don't think anybody wants to feel like playing the game means that they're alienated. You know, you didn't get that title, therefore, you know, you're not a regular player. You know, you're too casual kind of thing. Or, you know, or like you said, like the title now just feels like it's being given out for free a little bit, but I think for some new people, it's probably a good thing. So I think for the older crowd, we probably just have to accept that some things are going to be easier in the game and some things. I definitely think there's got to be, we've got to probably talk about things that he talked about later in the articles about the challenges and how hard things in the game should be. But I think on the FOMO point, I think they've got it right. At least they're listening. That we definitely have been talking about that.
Yeah. It's interesting this season. The title is, but the seasonal grind, the XP grind seemed a little slower than last season. So there's always something that people can't quite get on board with, but definitely don't want people totally feeling missing out. I know there was one of the bigger things this season was the corridors of time and people not being able to get all the lore if they weren't log in with, what was it? Did it end up being a 1 week or a 2 week period that we could get it? It wasn't super long.
They completed it, I think, just before reset, and they extended it a week. So it was just over a week, I think. Yeah.
And I guess there was technically a way people found out you could cheese in and do it. But I think overall was kind of not okay. The puzzle was cool enough, and we don't even need to rehash, like, well, was the end reward worth it? But the whole idea was cool enough, but why it was such a short thing for some lore, because that's where they're really going too far. Because you could have one aspect to saying, okay, this is your 3 month season. These are all the things you need to get done in 3 months. That can even be argued, is that too short? But a 2 week thing, like where we didn't even know ahead of time. So that was kind of a short thing, but I think they did a good job on, again, the really short quest. When Stacy hopped in with me, she enjoyed it. For the, what was it? The Devil's Rune. You know, that being a super short exotic quest, and a lot of people enjoyed that. And even as a hardcore player, yeah, it wasn't my favorite quest, but I was still totally on board, understood why they did that, and I appreciate them having some that are shorter and some that are longer.
I think it was more the speaking lines and not the actual dialogue.
Oh, that was great. Yeah.
That was the reason to play that. And I guess I appreciate that the trade-off was less busy time, more kind of, I can say fun time, but story time. Let's call it story time. Story time in Destiny.
Sit down and listen.
listening to Shaq sing.
That was great. Well, one thing they do want to focus on, he said, is not so much like these big seasonal activities that come out each season, like, okay, we had the Vex Offensive and then we have the Sundial, but they want to focus more on the core activities and evolve the public spaces. So core activities meaning Strikes, Gambit, Crucible, and public spaces meaning potentially public events, potentially Escalation Protocol. Of course, a lot of us are kind of hoping that Escalation Protocol might be revamped for next season. I like this idea, actually, because especially if they can revamp Strikes, I've said this many times on the podcast, and take a few Strikes and kind of change them up a little bit, change up the public events, revamp Escalation Protocol. This seems like a win to me. I don't know what you think, Sin.
Yeah, I think there's a huge opportunity if they do revamp not only EP, but the Strike system. Strikes right now, I think, are overused in the wrong way. They're being used for the seasonal quest progressions, and it's mindless grinding, I'd like to put it. Grinding for the sake of grinding, almost. I don't get it. I think there needs to be other reasons to play the strikes outside of that actual grind.
Very well put. Yeah, that it's like the wrong type of grind.
Yeah, like grinding just for the sake of grinding is what it is.
Yeah. Helios, what would you like to see with, how do you feel about that? Or like, do you like the idea of public, you know, these core activities just being worked on more?
Yeah, I think so, because, I mean, the assets are already in the game. So I guess like the talk of they want to obviously not create new assets constantly and blow up the file that Destiny is, how many odd gigs it is now. So I think it makes sense that you can rework it and like have different mechanics for things. So it's just freshen up the game, because I think a lot of even D1 type things, we kind of got a little bit of like freshness, even though it was DLCs and it took a year to do it. But just have that feeling that I think the world itself, like we're talking about how many planets that we go and visit, like some of those spaces are just not really used a lot for different things outside of maybe quests where they kind of introduce past in it. But I mean, just the living, breathing world kind of just, yeah, feels stale, just doing the same things over and over again. And still blueberries, don't know how to do some public events, but we'll talk about that differently. But you know, you'd think possibly watch a video. Maybe Bungie needs to put a video somewhere in the game.
An intro, yeah. Well, actually, that might be coming up in the conversation. But yeah, but I think there's a lot they could do do this. Where, for example, I love the little quests where they have like these little treasure chest or X on the map where you have to find. It gets me to go back into these places that I haven't done for a long time. They're so stagnant, and kind of like reappreciate those areas on the map.
Yeah, totally. I mean, the Cade treasure chest back in year one was interesting in a way. They were kind of trying to do something there, make a random thing. Just the rewards didn't feel very good for it. And I think it always, in some respects, it comes back to the difference in Eververse or those kind of cosmetics that are in D2 now that feels a bit different from D1, that you don't get as many cosmetics from coming from the world or just doing activities as much. And I think the recent changes, they talked about getting rid of, like, obviously the bright engrams so that you can't buy them anymore. So I think that's the death to loot boxes. They finally have killed it. Because I think, obviously, the governments of the world would get after them still. So I think they're slowly changing that, but it's whether or not some of those assets, because they make so many assets for Eververse, it's kind of crazy thinking about it. Just have those random chances of going around the world finding things. Yeah, that'd be kind of cool for those people that just like appreciate the game for running around in the spaces. Because I remember doing like Venus all the time, doing bounties. I just appreciated the kind of game space, just running around doing things back in D1. And having you get some kind of reward or something to appreciate the time that you're putting in to just kind of do those things, like, yeah, that'd be kind of cool. But yeah, I think I've mentioned, I think in our questions section in the podcast, that some things, like, I just think like the token systems kind of run its race. I think they kind of need to refresh that as well.
Yeah,
because we've seen it this season it's kind of the first step where they've kind of said, well, here's a single currency. You play how you want to play. You get that currency for doing anything. That's Crucible, Strikes, whatever. And there's a reward structure kind of built into it. So I think they're trying to make changes, but it's difficult, I think, with the game, the way that it is right now, to make kind of vast changes. But I think this director's cut and what they've talked about coming up next season, it's kind of the biggest, it feels like the biggest refresh, or at least they're attempting to go for like a huge refresh in the game, both sandbox and potentially other things. So.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And since you mentioned about like the public events and the new like players, that was another point to bring up just super quick about they didn't realize how many new players they would get. And of course there's the common question or concern about when they hop in the game, they're like, okay, I don't really know what I'm supposed to do next, unless you know to talk to Amanda Holiday and see those quests. So they say they're going to revamp that and make it a little bit better. I don't know that we'll actually have videos for them to watch on public events, but the idea is very awesome still about maybe they can find ways to get them.
Yeah, wasn't that the thing with Google Stadia, that you're going to press the button on the Stadia controller and it was going to show you a YouTube instructional video of how to do it or something?
Wow, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, I think they mentioned some, but they, like, obviously it was another feature they couldn't actually bring out on launch, so I'm not sure if they've actually been able to resolve that, but, you know, because obviously they've got YouTube, it's like a resource, you know, anyway Google can filter traffic back to one of their sites for advertising revenue, they're going to do it.
So. Yes, for sure. All right, two other quick things. Faction rallies will not be returned. And it's interesting they tell us this, because I guess there has been, I always see in the Destiny Roundup news of people requesting, oh, we like faction rallies. And well, at least the way that they've done them in the past, not as many people probably liked them as we thought. But for some reason, people bring it up from time to time. But they basically have said, for whatever reason, they're not going to be bringing them back. However, they will be bringing back some of the armor to the legendary Ingram reward pool. So alongside a few of the popular weapons. So we don't know exactly what, but you know, the one thing I love is the new Monarchy red shader. I use that a lot on my armor. So I've had those already from doing the faction stuff, but yeah, I think that's cool that they're going to bring some of this into the pool. Not a huge thing, but something kind of cool. And then on the quest area, they're going to be revamping the quest tab once again. A lot of people have been complaining about it's too daunting, too many things. So they're going to have categorization. So that makes sense. You know, they're going to have exotic quests will get their own category. Seasonal quests will get their own category. Older releases like Forsaken quests will get their own category. And this will help us focus on relevant stuff that we want to work on versus seeing, you know, our old Redrick's quest that we haven't done forever, like me, and just sitting there. I don't know. Maybe I can just put it away into an unused category.
That's interesting, having the categories. I think the quest tab definitely gets a little daunting in some instances, and mine's been cleaned up a lot recently just for doing some of this older content that I haven't been able to do, or quest lines such as the Wendigo that I finally finished. Just that they've just been sitting there taking up space, and it's I honestly think, though, the categorizations in the quest tab will help, but I honestly like the triumphs kind of as a bounty system where they track like these weapon grinds to triumphs. I think that would be a better use of some of these instead of quests doing it that way.
Yeah, we liked it when they moved it out of triumphs because that gave us more room, but because triumphs can get full too, but then that brings up a whole another conversation. There's too many of these currencies, like there's millions of them. Like, do we really need all these little currencies? I mean, we kind of do if we're going to work on all these things, but I know what you're saying in general. Some of them did make sense to kind of have in that area. I don't know what the answer is unless they get rid of some of these activities eventually, and then they can get rid of the currencies also. I mean, I guess we know all the fractaline stuff will be going away, but at least that's good. There's one less thing to worry about. All right, and then the big news, big news is weapons. And basically, TLDR, they're going to be basically, but They do not want to keep legendary weapons. Well, it'll be in the game, but they don't want to keep them relevant forever. So you, let's say you have a weapon. They said they're playing with a time frame of 9 to 15 months keeping the game. So let's say we have a weapon, a Forsaken or a Shadowkeep weapon that came out beginning of Destiny Year 4. They could do something where those weapons, you still have them. You can still use them in older activities, but you cannot level them up anymore. The idea is you can't infuse them. So what do we feel about this? Are you mad that you won't be able to use any weapons that you like, Sin? Now, we're going to keep exotics for now. They're just talking about legendaries.
Yeah,
this could even be pinnacles.
Because
any legendary
before we started, I let you know that I had not read anything from the director's cut. So I think that's a little ridiculous in the regards that, great, you're only going to keep them relevant for 9 to 15 months. That's fantastic. But what about something like the Luna's Howl, which is what now? Let's call it more than 15 months old, and I haven't gotten it yet. So that makes it pointless for me to go and try to grind for that weapon.
Potentially, yeah. And also, if you like to be a collector, I mean, you can still use it. You just won't be able to use it with higher current, like, end game stuff. You know, you won't be able to infuse it past a certain point. It's a valid concern.
I don't really see that. I mean, you could get around with that aspect of it if you don't want it to stay around forever, making people have to grind for it again if they really want to have that for something new. Similar to how Diablo does it for roles. I mean, you can't really infuse your weapons up in that regards. You got to grind for different roles and such. I don't know. I don't really know what the answer is to that. I think that's kind of crappy.
Well, here's the big thing, too, that I got reminded. Some people are like, well, duh, this is obvious, but Paul Tassi wrote about in his article, and as far as we know, it'll still work this way. You will still use those weapons in PvP as long as it's not a light-enabled PvP activity, you know, because they're all, your power level doesn't matter unless you're going into Iron Banner or Trials, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter in that activity, but it still would matter in some raids.
Sure.
What if people want to use them? I mean, I guess it could be if they have lower light levels for the raids where they, let's say it's a raid weapon, and that raid is set to a certain light, okay, maybe that would work because then you can't infuse it past that level, and you can still use it in that raid whenever you want it to go in that raid. But in the instance where they totally broke the way power levels worked, come Forsaken, when they made everybody 750 and 750 was the new zero, basically, it doesn't really work in that regards. And I know I'm probably overthinking it, but and honestly, the way they've done these seasons, there hasn't been a lot of weapons that I've kept through season to season. So maybe it's probably will end up being okay. But I know I still go back and use some weapons that I'm familiar with. Bygones to be one of them. Redrix I've gone back to use, which in PvP, like you said, doesn't matter as far as light enabled unless you're doing an Iron Banner or now Trials that's coming. I don't know. I guess we'll have to see how it plays out if they decide to do that.
Yeah. Well, they give some reasons, but first I want to, you know, obviously we have our lovely guest on Helios. I'm sure you have some opinions about it, and then we can maybe talk about what some things they say. How do you feel about it, Helios?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that the age of the game's kind of it's become one of those things that they have to look at this type of, because they've been obviously looking at power creep as one of those things, and I know they've mentioned it kind of in the past, how long it takes to even say something probably we don't appreciate is like, how long does it take to play test like all the guns in the game now, like for every activity that they produce, and maybe because the way they may be going to change focus with activities, that they kind of know how they're going to be designed going forward, that they can kind of work around it. But just the amount of time it takes to kind of play test or just test all the guns and actually find out what's going to break the game each time they change some fundamental part of the sandbox. It's kind of crazy to think like there's a lot of time they got to go back and actually work out whether or not the game's going to break because of it. So, and I think that's one of the reasons I talked about maybe the weapons needing to be moved on, in terms of like they don't see as much use, therefore they're not so concerned about it. Or they can try and build new guns or spend more time building new guns that you might get excited about. So I guess I understand the problem, the minutiae they've got, which is just having to keep the current ones alive and they're struggling to build anything new. So, yeah. It makes it difficult, but I think through Destiny 1, I mean, if you consider how we went through Destiny 1, there's a lot of cases where guns did kind of get sunsetted, at least, I mean, Taken King was one. Like all the guns from kind of year one, Fatebringer, etc. I think they mentioned that kind of like disappeared off the roadmap, and people found new things to play with. So I think it's the amount of time. I mean, if you look about it, the amount of time we've had with the current sandbox since Forsaken, let's put it that way. It's been like a year and a couple of months now. I think the longer it goes, the harder it gets. And I think if change was a little bit more regular, we would be a little bit more open to it. If they'd already kind of implemented something like seasonal weapons and they disappear, maybe we wouldn't be so worried about it. But I know for one, like looking at all the big streamers, the guys that put a lot of time in the game, they're obviously concerned that they've been working on all these roles for trials and that coming up. And they're just concerned that, you know, they're going to disappear, that I spent so much time making it. And that's a legitimate concern, I guess. But I think at the moment, they're just saying, hey, this is the direction we want to go into. But ultimately, that might not be the direction they go in. You know, it's a thinking point at this stage.
Yes, exactly.
Subject to change.
They didn't say when. They didn't say, it's not like, and they did kind of say that 9 to 15 months thing. So it's not like it's going to be each season we're losing weapons. It would be hopefully more of like we get a weapon one season, and then maybe a year later they're like, okay, this season's going to be phasing out, you know, like I'm sure, they tell someone later.
I'm sure they see the stats, and I'm sure there's a stat in the game that tells them how often does somebody pull out a gun out of their vault. Like the usage rate out of the vault, I'd say is probably less than 20% or something crazy like that. I'd say a lot of people just gravitate to the same guns day in, day out, and a lot of people's vault is just full. It's like spring cleaning. You've just shoved everything in the cupboard, and then it's come that time of the year. You've got to go, oh, well, better open the cupboard now, and everything comes tumbling out. So
that actually sounds so familiar, because I am in that boat. Other than the 20 steel feather repeaters that are in my postmaster that I have to look through the rolls on yet.
Yep.
I try to keep one of each. I've locked certain weapons that I know I'll probably go back to at some point. Like, they're locked so I can't delete them. And I can see that on Dim when I pull it up. And of course, like the exotics that I masterwork or exotics that I use are all locked. Guns that I've masterworked and I use fairly regular are all locked. You know, those, the ones, like you said, the ones that are the go-tos at some point would be irrelevant.
Yeah, so I think there's definitely got to be a change in the behavior, because I think we've run our race, I think, on the way that this has kind of been doing with random roles. You know, I think creatively they need to obviously freshen things up as well, and I think we'd appreciate it. But and a lot of people go back to Destiny 1 and say, well, look, we had much less vault space and we had to make hard decisions on guns. And in a lot of cases, new seasons like Rise of Iron came up, and I know we started using a lot of those weapons and didn't touch some of the weapons out of the Taken King afterwards, either because they were better or they're just newer, did different things. It just kind of felt fresh as it kind of went along. But yeah, it's a tricky position. I wouldn't want to be them, because, and I think this is the best way to do it. It's like you do have to air the difficult arguments. You have to prepare people to say, well, you know, we're going to do, instead of just saying, hey, we're just going to go and get rid of these things, because no one's using it. Like, the stats are telling us no one's used this gun for 2 years. Why should it be here anymore? So,
yeah, so
we'll see.
There's a lot we could talk about. I there's just a few more things I want to bring up, because there's been a lot of great news also that we want to talk about real quick. But I agree. I think as long as they can, one of the biggest reasons they're like, yeah, it's hard to keep all these old weapons tested so that we know they won't break something going forward. Okay, I'll listen to you, Daddy Bungie, but please then, if you're getting rid of old weapons, definitely increase the amount of new weapons that we get just a little bit more, and then I'll think it was a worthwhile trade-off. You know, so there's actually, I have to admit, this season there was a fair amount of variety, but I don't know. I just sometimes feel like all the new ones we're getting aren't that much different anyway. So I'm, in a way, fine that they get rid of these.
I think they almost primed the argument that they were going to bring this out by just absolutely throwing guns at this season. It's like, it's been unbelievable how much guns.
Yeah. This season. That's true. Some of them were revamps from Chris Osiris, but yeah, we got a lot of new ones also.
Yeah.
Well, we had big news that came out this last week since we recorded. The community event turned into announcing that Trials is coming back next season. And we'll talk about this more going forward on next couple podcasts. We have potentially some guests coming on too that are big PvP players, but you know, we all kind of knew this was coming. And one thing that was really interesting was the biggest concern that everyone had. I had this concern was we know it's going to be power level enabled, but it was also including the artifact. So potentially people could grind lost sectors or do strikes or whatever they do to get the artifact up to like level 1,000, level 2,000, who knows, right? You know, it's just some crazy number. And we don't know how all the power scaling would cut off. Maybe it wouldn't have been a huge issue anyways, but people in the community were talking about it. Big time streamers are talking about it. I had a concern, even though I didn't know it was going. And what was it? Just like a day or so later, Luke Smith tweeted that, you know, they listened and they are going to not use the power out effect as part of your equation for the light level for trials. So great news. Yeah, because the video came was Tuesday night. And that's when the video came out. And then it was, I think, Thursday when we heard right before the TWAB that they made that decision. And then also in the TWAB, some other good news they came out with is the changes of the three classes. What are some of the biggest complaints? The Titan, Shoulder Charge, the Warlock, Handheld Supernova, and the Hunter Throwing Knife. They're kind of like adjusting all of those along with some other subclass changes that generally people think should be adjusted in Crucible. So when I was perusing through the Twitter Thursday night for us in the US, it was one of the most excited times I saw in a while of people just saying, this is great news. Everyone was just tweeting about Destiny that night. Everyone was just kind of happy about that. And we're getting Trials back, even though I'm not a big PvP player. This is something to look forward to.
You're
going to hop into Trials, Sin? Sin, me, you, and Helios. Are we going to have a player team going?
I am super scarred from year one Trials. My KD in Crucible got destroyed.
Luckily,
sucked.
I don't care about KD.
I sucked. It took me until recently to get over a general PvP average of 1.0. I'm not an awful player overall, and I think I've gotten better over the past couple of years playing PvP and just playing the game over and over and over. But yeah, it's I don't think I really like ran good matches in Trials, to be honest with you.
I mean, I didn't, but I'm excited to try it out at least a couple times, see what's going on. And yeah, we'll have to get a fire team together. Helios, are you excited for this? Do you have any plans to go into Trials right away when it comes out?
Yeah, I think so. I played a little bit of Trials back in, probably more so than D2, because the four-person fire team kind of thing, I didn't kind of feel like it gelled, because it always felt like you were fighting, you're never getting one-on-one battles, you tend to be fighting two or three people camping out the back with auto rifles, which was usually not very fun activity. But you got to remember, Sin, you've got One-Eyed Mask now, so you didn't have that back in the...
Well, this is true, although I don't use it in current Crucible.
Oh, okay, just checking.
I'm not one of them.
Are you saying your shoulder charge is going to be a little less...
A little nerfed, yeah.
I actually play Crucible more for the gunplay. And I probably do more gun kills than I do the other ability kills.
Yeah.
It's not saying that I don't use them and I don't try to use my grenade, but I try to also genuinely hit the other person with a pulse or a scout or whatever I'm trying to use, or the fighting lion, because I'm trying to get these damn grenade kills.
Yeah, I see the buffing fighting lion too as well.
And I just masterworked it, so.
Okay.
The catalyst is done, I should say.
Got a rate of fire increase from 72 RPM to 90 RPM. So.
That'll be interesting.
Mm.
I also have been trying to work on the Prometheus lens catalyst.
Ooh, boy.
Just because I can.
Laser tag. That should be a weekend of trials, because they brought that out in D1. It was in no trials. A lot of people split the community quite a lot, actually. That was the no radars trials back in the day. I think on Cauldron. I remember being on Cauldron and Anomaly, and both of those maps are coming back. So I'm going to say it now, probably going to come back. Yeah. At least a weekend. Because it happened around, what was it? Spoopy Trials, as they called it back in the day. So Festival of Lost Time, so Halloween.
The only other thing that I would kind of like hope that they could change, but I don't think this is going to change now. That'd be crazy if they changed this too. But I kind of was hoping that they had two modes. They'd have a mode where it was just purely connection-based, and then another mode where they also take into consideration the card. So right now, how they're going to do it is as you get up in your wins, especially when you're on that seventh challenge, you go against another team who's also on number seven. And so it's like a tournament style. So like it's going to be super sweaty at the end. I feel like I actually would have had a better chance actually getting to the lighthouse if it was just going to be purely connection based. So I don't know. It's fine that they're doing the card thing. It's better than skill based at least, but I was kind of hoping for just only connection based.
I think it's probably a good thing. And I'm not so sure that they haven't said card based component of isn't going to kick in into it until you get closer to the lighthouse.
Yeah, so, it might just be on that last one or something.
So I think the balancing does change. So one of the unique, I guess, it kind of happened that way in Destiny 1. I don't totally remember. It was definitely, there was card-based on some parts of the run, but unique in Destiny from the perspective that it's obviously as you go through the playlist, it actually changes the way that it works. So that's cool that's kind of coming back. I think it should be connection-based from the very beginning. Almost totally prioritized for that. So we'll see. But I mean, anybody that goes into the classic mix kind of knows it's a very mixed bag in there at the moment. So it's supposed to be connection based. I don't think a lot of people actually know that it is. It's in very small print, as most good things where, you know, it comes to insurance and various other things. You read the fine print, but it does feel weird because it doesn't totally feel like it's connection based. I'd like to think that's
not promoted. No one thinks to click into it.
Yeah, I think the player population is the problem. So I think the health of trials and the health of PvP definitely come down to how many people are attracted by that. I think at the end of the day, the main reason I think they got the casuals into it back in D1 was the rewards. And having that ability to get bounties, even if it isn't the cards allowing you to have, you know, basically tickets or boons, as they called it, where you could like wipe your first loss, promote your first win as a double. I think that's what it was. So if you like drop a connection, you know, you don't get penalized and that kind of thing. But also the bounties were, I think, if you got to 3 wins or 5 wins, you're usually guaranteed a pinnacle of some kind. Not an adept weapon as it was known in the days, but at least you got a flavor of a doctrine of passing or a the pulse rifle is usually pretty good weapons to get. So you got a taste of it, even if you weren't the sweaty players and going to the lighthouse every weekend. You were able to work towards it, you know, a couple of hours on a weekend and have some fun. And that was kind of the main thing that Trolls was, I felt, was the fun factors. That as much as you'd go in it to say, yeah, you know, we're never going to get at the Trolls, you never knew, because sometimes, like, the greatest moments in Trials were literally, you'd go in there not expecting too much, and you'd end up getting to 5 wins and going, oh my God, is this the one? And you'd never know. So that's that feeling of, I guess, excitement that you kind of can make progress. And that's what PvP in this game's really always felt like it's lacked. It felt like you'd never had something to progress to. Or there was a game mode where you feel like you were making progress as you went along doing some particular task.
Yeah, there's no rankings
at sort of
either.
The quests. Yeah. Well, yeah, and the rankings have kind of never really felt great, I think, for the majority of people. Because they, I guess, tried to do Overwatch in Destiny. And it never kind of really worked out that way. But the general health, like I said, the general health of the game will come into play, and they feel like it's a good time. They're having fun and all getting some kind of reward out of it at the end of the day. So.
Yeah. Well, Sin, our prediction that we made last week on the podcast came true. Do you remember what that was?
The reset being the fractal angle.
Yeah.
Yes. I was actually listening to it. Is what I finished. I got it to you Tuesday night to post Wednesday morning, right? So by the time I posted it,
it was somewhere right around there, Tuesday,
we were already done Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm. But we did record that the weekend before.
Sunday.
Yeah.
Yes. My timing with work and tried to rest when I can got in the way.
Well, when this podcast comes out, we will have 1 week left in the season. So this should be the week where we start seeing a trailer for next season, really getting the nitty gritty details of next season, hopefully a calendar. There was a false one going around, so ignore that.
I saw that. It looked legit. It looked legit.
Can confirm Rosalot is coming back in the game.
Well, drop. If it does, I'd be fine with that. I liked that to weapon a lot.
Well, it is the season of the swords, isn't it? So
yeah, right.
There's got to be some kind of sword coming back.
I mean, that's an easy one to guess. If it actually happens, great. I'd be fine. But yeah, a lot of exciting stuff will be here really soon to the next season. This one, in a way, has gone fairly quick, even though there was a few times where I was like, okay, there's not too much to do. But we've been having a lot of fun raiding. Again, that always keeps it interesting to me and things we're grinding for. And I'd say, all in all, it wasn't a bad season. The Saint 14 quests alone, to me, were almost worth the $10 right there. So to me so far, the $10 per season is a pretty good value in my eyes, but of course I am a hardcore player, so I don't know how everyone else feels about it. Well, good Helios, value. Anything else that you wanted to bring up tonight that we didn't get to, or how you think about the game right now, things you're looking forward to?
Yeah, I think I've kind of mentioned in Discord, I'm thinking of, obviously, depending on how the season goes, by the little casually than I have. This season's been super, super grind for me. I mean, I think I'm 360 or something on the season pass. It's ridiculous. I don't know how I've got there, but yeah, so I think I'll probably just come back to play some PvP. I don't think the title thing is kind of something I'm really too concerned about anymore. And obviously, like you said, helping out with raids. We'll have to see where the meta goes, I think. That's going to depend on how much playtime, I guess, I'm going to put in. But
yeah, getting to some other games, possibly setting yourself up, Division 2, games like that.
Yeah, a little bit of something different. Because I think, and a lot of, I guess this comes with some Destiny players that play this game way too much. Mahafu, I'm talking to you, especially. I see you. Yeah, the perspective. And I don't know, he's like plays Assassin's Creed and other games, but have that perspective of playing other games. And I guess, he said, getting out and doing things. It's summertime over here, so yeah, I think I'm going to enjoy what's left of the summer and take it a bit more casual, but I'll be around.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, I'm sure people like you and me and stuff, like when we say we're playing less, it doesn't mean we're not going to be around. It just means, you know, we just won't be as hardcore. I don't know what I'm doing for next season yet, but I hear what you're saying, and I felt that way during this season at times.
Yeah, I mean, the story's been great. I've enjoyed the story and the fact that it's progressing towards something. So September's looking pretty good for a lot of people to come back if they're enjoying the story. What's going to happen with the Dorito ships? Actually, that's a solid plug for I think that that lore entry that came out this week too as well. So go, everybody, go have a read of that. You might not understand it. You might need to watch a Boyf video.
I have not read anything this week. Nothing.
But it's our good friend Saurus going to do interesting things out in space. There, we don't know. We don't know what it is. Though.
But I'm Team Rasputin.
Nice.
Team Sputin.
Sin, anything else you want to talk about?
No, I think we covered quite a bit of ground. We talked about everything that's happened this week for us in game and with the news. I mean, I think this is probably the most ground we've covered in the last couple of weeks. So
I know. I think there was a lot to talk about tonight, and some of this will continue on. But
yeah, the conversation never ends.
Never ends.
Fortunately or unfortunately, however you want to look at it, it's the Energizer Bunny.
But yes, definitely a lot of big news. And we'll see what happens with these weapons if they give us more details of how we're going to be able to use them, in the future, at least with the endgame activities.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Hashtag stay fresh.
Excellent. Thanks, Helios. As we close, would you like to give us any kind of what you would consider a dessert item that is a favorite of yours?
Yes. It kind of depends, I guess.
As a chicken nuggets, it is.
Older gamer, I guess I've got different phases of desserts. I think when I was younger, chocolate mousse was always my favorite. Older I get, appreciate different kind of desserts now, different textures. Put it that way. So, but I'm on the carrot cake train. That's for sure. Ooh, different types of carrot cake's always good. If it's not cake, we have something. I don't know. You have that in the US, pavlova, kind of a white egg sponge. I guess you could call it. Where it's kind of they take out the yolks and just whip the whites into a kind of crusty kind of thing. So that's always good with fresh. Yeah, all sorts. I don't really limit myself to too many things, but that's probably the top thing.
Yeah, that's excellent. Excellent.
Cheesecake.
Cheesecake. Yeah. Well, I mean, I had a carrot cake cheesecake recently.
Good. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
So through Cheesecake Factory. When I had a good dessert.
You do have that in Australia.
Do you? No. But I had a coffee stout today. It was pretty good.
Nice.
Yeah.
I actually had tiramisu on my birthday.
Ooh. That's always good. Well, thanks for that answer. And we put that in the books. Well, it's been quite the evening. We had a good longer episode tonight. Make up for, I guess, our short one last week. But we just kind of want to have fun with this podcast. And we may not have a guest every week, but when we do, they are great.
We prefer Dos Equis.
We could talk about Dos Equis instead. Well, everyone, we want to thank you for listening. Close out this evening with, we don't have any reviews, so we will just get right to hearing all our contact information. And we will start with Helios.
Helios, do it.
How can people get hold of you?
So I'm obviously the Guardian Hub Discord. You can get me through that. My name changes almost every season, so it's currently Get Your Fractalini. So I'll probably be changing that for next season. But
isn't that great? You normal... do that, though.
It's fantastic. I mean, Steam's good. I mean, Steam name generations or people being able to change it on Steam's quite crazy. I can't think of anything good though, so I'll think of something for next season. So I play on PC, PS4, Helios 77G, Twitter, same thing. Also, I don't stream very often, extremely infrequently. So, and I've just been trying out Mixer recently. So, but it's the same everywhere. Helios 77G. So,
great. And we have you on the list now for Mixer. So, if you do streaming, pop up in the Discord.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Oh, and everyone,
this is amazing.
I posted in the Discord, but if you didn't read that, if you stream and would like me to have your stream show up automatically when you stream, we can now do that. We were limited for a bit of how many we could post, and I changed the setup so we can have an unlimited amount again. So we can do that now. And partially that is capable because I want to thank our Patreon member, Mr. Monkey. Thank you very much for that. We really appreciate that. Our podcast will always be free. Our community will be free. But, you know, there's some small little fun things we like to do on the side that cost a little extra money. So if you want to know more about our Patreon, just check that out in the Get It Starting Facts channel. But don't need to talk about it anymore. Sin, where can people get a hold of you, good sir?
All across the interwebs, but mainly on twitch.tv/SinMedia, Sin is C-Y-N, and over on Twitter at Sin_Media. Kingsley, take it home.
Yes, you can find me as Kingsley Mac on PlayStation and on Twitch. And then on Twitter, I am MC Kingsley. And you can find our show at our website, theguardianhub.com, or on Twitter as The Guardian Hub. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in this week. We really, really appreciate it. Check us out in the Discord. And otherwise, have a good week.
Bye.
Later.